everybody. Welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me. It's Ariel.
Hello. So we are here today with a very exciting book club episode, as always. We're always excited for these because we hype them up so much. And then it's so fun because we get to hear from our listeners and include them in the episode. So that's super fun. But before we get to all of that, we'll have our non-spoilery section where we just kind of discuss our general feelings for the book. And then we will give a big warning before we hop into the in-depth spoilery voice clips section. So the book is There's No Such Thing as an Easy Job by Kikuko Sumura. And how did you feel about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, I was just thinking we should also mention the translator. It was translated from the Japanese by Polly Barton. And interestingly,
I really liked her translation.
Yes, I thought she did such a good job.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it on the cover. And I think that's a shame.
I know, that kind of made me mad.
Yeah, I think that that is something we should all get over. Mm-hmm.
Because she did a lot of work too. She should be on the cover.
A lot of work, I'm sure. So I think that's really cool.
I agree. Yeah, I was really impressed by her translation. Like, just the way that she would word some things. It was actually funny because while I was reading it, I was like, the translator is British. Like, I could tell that she was from England, which was really funny.
Especially when she spelled tire.
Yeah.
T-Y-R-E.
Yeah, like some of the word choices and the spellings were like, oh my God, this person is from England, which is fun. It's cool being able to see that come across because I don't often see that, I don't think, in like a Japanese translated book. So it added some little extra funky flair to it, which was fun.
Funky flair. I love Raylene.
Thanks.
That's hilarious. Well, yeah, I really enjoyed the book. I thought it was such a blast. And actually, I'm thinking this might be my favorite book club book we've done.
Ooh,
I'm trying to think.
I was kind of thinking that too. I don't know if anything beats this.
I really did like Emma a lot, but it didn't kind of, you know, it didn't like connect with me in a really shocking emotional way or something like that. Like, I did really like it, and I'm really glad we read it. And then I also really liked Before the Coffee Gets Cold. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really fun.
And then Dig was another good one.
Oh, yeah. And Dig was really good. But just this one, I do think, now that we've said them out loud, is my new favorite one. Obviously, there's also the ones we didn't really like. Memory Police. What was the Ocean Wong one called?
On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous.
Yes, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. And then 100 Years of Solitude. R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P. This is my favorite. Wow, we've done a lot of book club books.
I know, and I feel like we might have even forgotten a couple just now while saying them out
maybe.
Loud.
Maybe. This was such a delight. So I'll just go through some of the things I liked. Number one, I enjoyed our main character. Mm-hmm. She reminded me a bit of the book Kim Ji Young, Born 1982.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read that book?
Yeah. Great book.
Okay, great. So in that one, the main character is really supposed to symbolize the most ordinary Korean woman, right? Like, supposed to just be kind of your average Korean woman. Mm-hmm. And I sort of felt like the main character in this book was supposed to sort of be like a very average Japanese woman, mid-30s, trying to do the whole job and life thing. Because she didn't have that much personality.
No, it's true. Yeah, she was just kind of there as a vessel.
She was a little bit there, just exactly trying to get through it. But I think that was part of the point. So for anyone who hasn't heard of this book or only vaguely is aware of it, it's the story of a woman who is, like, the book starts, she's at a job office trying to get a new job. Mm-hmm. We know that she's left her old job because of burnout. She was just, like, extremely burnt out from her old job. We get the sense that she's, like, been off of work for a few weeks because she was, like, recovering a bit, but now she has to get back to work. And what the book is about is her going through 5 different jobs.
Yeah.
All for only, like, a month or two.
Yeah, like, they're all within a year for sure.
Yes. And she goes through this journey of doing all these different jobs and kind of learning about jobs and learning about like workplaces and trying to recover. This is what's interesting. Trying to recover from her burnout by finding what she's called an easy job.
Yeah, like the most mindless jobs possible. She's like, I want a job where I don't have to think. I don't have to, like, you know, feel that attached to it, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So exactly. She chooses the strangest jobs.
And we go on this journey with her. And like you said, like, she kind of is just the vessel, but I think that's also kind of the point. Like, she's so burnt out that she doesn't really have much of a personality, but you do start to see it come out in certain moments.
Oh, absolutely.
I think for me, kind of where it all really, like, her character really started to spark, and it was very funny, was on her fourth job when she's doing the posters.
Oh, yeah.
She gets a little saucy sometimes trying to push the posters onto people.
Yeah.
And she's like, it was sort of thrilling just trying to sell them posters for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Like, good for you. But again, and I talked about this a little bit on the last episode that wasn't the book club episode, but the main reason I really liked this book is because it did really feel very relatable to our current age bracket and like our current life stage.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I think is also part of the reason that she doesn't have a name. Like, we don't know.
Yes.
You can kind of project yourself onto her. Like, if you relate to her in any way, it's very easy to be like, oh, this is just like me.
That's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's a really good point. I think that when I was, and it's so predictable and it makes so much sense. It's almost dumb to even say it, but I do think it's interesting. When I was a teenager, I loved reading books set in high school. Mm-hmm. When I was in my early 20s, I loved reading books about characters like going on adventures or in university. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in my like late 20s and moving into my early 30s. I'm like, I love reading books about women who are trying to figure out like, what do they want to be and what are their careers and how are they feeling about relationships at this different stage of life where relationships are like a little more serious in certain ways. Cause you're like, am I finding my life partner? Am I finding my career that I'm going to have for a long time? All of those sorts of things. So I really liked that about the character. And like, at first I thought she was like 25, but we find out she's 34.
Yeah.
And that she'd been at her other job for like
10 years or something. Or
14 years. Yeah. So that's interesting too, because you know what's funny? I've been making YouTube videos as my job for 12 years and I'm 27. Yeah, that's right. Crazy. How the hell did that happen? I started when I was 16. So I'm like going into my 12th year. And I'm just like, it's true though. Like, we're at this place now where we have been doing things for a long time, but we still don't feel like we're in our late 30s or 40s and have that kind of like really intense experience, but we do have some. So I just find that really relatable and interesting. I really enjoyed it. And I obviously get the gist that you did too, but were there any kind of specific things you wanted to mention before we go into spoilers?
Yeah, the specifics of like what really made me love this book was when she was working on her second job, which was at the bus company. And this particular section of the book has probably one of the most like kind of slightly surreal kind of elements going on. And at that point I was like, oh, how weird is this book gonna get? But it's like weird in a very like toned down kind of way, which I really like. Like, there's just something a little bit off, and she can't quite figure out if it's real, if it's really happening, she's just imagining it, if it's all coincidence. And so I loved that whole section. I just found it to be so fascinating. And like, you have no idea as a reader, like, what exactly is going on here? So I really loved that. And then I think I did start to, ironically enough, started to feel burnout a little bit near the end of the book. I was like, because it does get a little repetitive is the one kind of complaint I would have, is that, you know, she starts a job from scratch. She does the job. It reaches whatever conclusion it does. And then she moves on to a new job. And so it kind of cycles through that a few times, which by the end of it, I was like, okay, I think I could have done without maybe one of these sections. Mm-hmm. But overall, I really, really enjoyed it. So very positive experience for both of us, which is good.
Yeah, which is great. Okay, so I'm sure we have both have a lot more to say about the book, but we have found that if we talk too much at this point, then the questions that people ask, we've sort of already answered. So it's better if we just jump into the voicemails now.
Yep, let's do it. Spoilers ahead, folks. We're jumping in.
Yes. This is your spoiler moment if you don't want to get spoiled. It's not really a book that I think can get spoiled.
Like, no, it's true.
You can't really ruin it, but here we go. This first message is from Nina. She writes, Ariel and Raylene. First off, I just realized Raylene has three whole letter E's in her name. Wow.
That's amazing. I know, it's crazy. I don't know what my mom was thinking.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. She made other funny points, but let's get to her voice clip.
Hi, Ariel and Raylene. This is Nina from Colorado. My first job was working as a seamstress in a sewing factory, and it was so boring that this is where I discovered my love for audiobooks. I would listen to one or two a day. I'm curious if either of you have had a really boring or obscure job.
That is such a fun question to start this off.
I love that it starts with like us personally, not necessarily the book. That's really fun, actually. That is a good place.
What was
start.
Your first job, Raylene?
Well, my first job, I mean, okay, I guess it kind of goes back to when I was in high school. I did work experience as one of my classes, and I had three different placements. One of them was at the library. All I did was shelve books. So that could arguably be the most boring job because I was just shelving books. I enjoyed it because it was books, but it is mindless work. And then I also worked at a newspaper for a little bit. I got to make a video for the newspaper's website. Cute. So that was really fun. And then I worked at the bookstore that I ended up working at for 6 years.
So
my first real, that's a lie. I worked at Wendy's before all of that.
Wendy's? Yeah.
I worked at Wendy's for 8 months, and that was, I wouldn't say it was boring, but it wasn't enjoyable. Definitely not the most enjoyable environment.
No, that's intense.
Yeah, and then I worked at a bookstore for 6 years, which, same thing. It wasn't, like, it could be boring at times, but I was surrounded by books, so I was always having a good time. And yeah, I always kind of dreamed of having a boring job, though, honestly, because of being able to listen to audiobooks or read. Like, I know people who are like, oh yeah, my job, like, I'll just, like, you know, I'm just there to, like, supervise this area or whatever. Right. And so like, you can just sit there and do whatever you want until a person shows up. And while that sounds really boring, I thought that sounded really appealing because I was like, I could get a lot of reading done while getting paid. So I haven't really had that many boring jobs, I guess, but I kind of wanted one, honestly. I still kind of do.
I know what you mean. I also have fantasized about just books that don't require anything like listening, because for the last decade of making videos, I can't listen to podcasts or audiobooks while I edit, obviously, because I'm editing, so I have to listen very carefully to everything. And, like, you know, illustrators, they can listen to a lot of audiobooks and podcasts and just all these different, like, calligraphers. I'm like, oh, you get to do something cool while getting to listen to other stuff. I'm that's really that. Nice. My first job I ever did was with my brother, who edits the pod. We both went apple picking. We were both like apple picking on a farm when I was 12. So CJ would have been 10.
Oh my God.
And it was like, almost sounds illegal now that I listen, like, think back, because also, like, you got paid not by the hour, but by how many apples you picked.
And what was it, like, 10 cents per apple?
Something really bad like that. And we only got paid $11.25 to share.
Oh,
hence why we only did it for one day and then never went back.
Like,
we
were this, like, isn't this worth it.
This is completely,
that's like the scene in Napoleon Dynamite where he's like, you gotta get a job, Napoleon, and he goes and works at this farm and makes $6 and he's like, that's like $1 an hour. That's exactly what you guys went through.
That was literally exactly what we went through. And then my next, like, actual job was when I was 16 and I worked at Staples. I worked at Staples for probably similar to you, like 8 months. It was a bit more over 6 months, but I didn't quite hit a year there. And then the other teenage jobs I did was working at Michael's at stocking shelves. Because when I was at Staples, I was the cashier. When I was at Michael's, I was stocking shelves in the morning shift between 5 a.m. and 9 a.m. Yeah, 17-year-old. It was bad. It was really bad. And then I worked at Walmart stocking bread. So, you know what? I've done my fair share of my teenage years of my kind of typical retail jobs. And just like you're saying, none of them were, like, boring because they were active. I had to be doing stuff. So I've never worked a job, actually, where I could just kind of sit there and stare out into the distance. I did for a summer. And it was literally only like a 2 week camp or something, but it was like for volunteer hours or something to graduate from high school.
Too.
Yeah. I did this like kids camp And that was a hell and torment kind of a situation. That really sucked.
Oh, that's crazy. My volunteer experience that I did in high school was at a like food exhibition fair type of thing, which sounds really crazy, but it's just like in a big hall, there's like stalls, you know, people giving out samples or like whatever.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay was actually there one time, but I didn't know who he was back at the time. And so I regret, I could have seen Gordon Ramsay and I didn't. But my job was just like scanning people's tickets to let them in and like making bags of different, like one piece of chocolate, one bag of chips. So like, it could have been seen as boring, but I loved it.
Yes. That's funny. Well, I'm really glad that we started there because Nina has really proved to us and to the listeners, like everybody does what this character does. Like you have a series of kind of strange jobs. Like how did you even find them? No idea how we ended up in those things. The next voicemail is from Leonie.
Hi, people. Do you agree with the public opinion of the book that it's convenience store woman meets my year of rest and relaxation, or do you think it's very different? And I'm also wondering whether anybody else felt that it was going to include some magical realism, but in the end it didn't. I was kind of waiting for that. It gave me the vibe, but I'm not sure if I'm the only one.
Okay, two really good questions there from Leonie. Let's go backwards. So did you think that there was going to be some more magical realism? I'm looking at the back of the book. It does say, as one mysteriously specialized, surreal, even supernatural gig gives way to another. So it kind of does hint.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting there to be something, especially after the bus company where that weird stuff started happening, where it's like every time someone would be mentioned or whatever, the place would just appear and like they would appear out of nowhere, which seemed really magical. Like it seemed very magical realism-y because it was kind of like, is that one woman, like is she making this happen? Like it seems like she was like the ringleader of like this weirdness, but then there wasn't really that much weirdness throughout the rest of the book, if I recall correctly. And so I was expecting, like, that was the point where I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be like, it's going to be have this stream of weirdness throughout the whole book, but then it kind of let go of that, which to me was like a tiny bit disappointing because I got really excited about it. And I got really excited to see like what the author would do with each job and like what slightly weird thing would happen. But the weird things ended up just being like reality and like realistic
explainable
things. Yeah, like the one, like the job that she works in the cabin in the forest. It's like there's obviously just like a person or some strange animal. Like this isn't magical. This is very explainable.
Yes.
But yeah, I definitely like expected it to answer the question.
Yeah, I think I expected it a bit more, but I am not sad that it wasn't there, actually. Yeah. For me personally, I really enjoyed the book as it was. I found that the kind of magical realism-y edge made sense to the amount that it was there in that, like, she is sort of outside of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's so burnt out and kind of not connecting that it makes sense that she's kind of seeing things in a weird way.
That's true.
So it sort of had that element, but it didn't need to go, like, really deep into it because it isn't, because it is supposed to be kind of a domestic story. Like,
it's supposed to be, like, real life normal, that anyone could relate
to. Yeah. So I think that still made sense.
Yeah. Which I think brings back to Leonie's other question.
Yes, exactly. So then I have also heard this comparison. People saying that there's no such thing as an easy job is basically convenience store woman plus a year of rest and relaxation.
I have to say I agree with it for the following reasons. So obviously the convenience store woman comparison is very apt for obvious reasons because it's about a average woman in her, you know, late 20s, early 30s who is working. Like it's all about her work life, which is very much what convenience store woman, I mean obviously in convenience store woman it's like her whole life, but that's besides the point. So I think that it definitely, that comparison does make sense because convenience store woman is so popular like internationally now as well, that I feel like that helps this book in a way. But I also do agree that it is similar to my year of rest and relaxation in the way that the main character wants to do nothing. Like, the main character is depressed. Like, they may not come out and say it, but the main character is depressed. They feel burnt out. They feel overwhelmed by life. And so they just want to do whatever's easiest. And in my year of rest and relaxation, that means sleeping all the time. And in this book, that means doing the most mindless jobs possible. Like, the first job, the surveillance job, literally seems like the most mindless thing. But you have to be paying attention also. Like, she couldn't necessarily, like, listen to an audiobook because she has to be making sure, like, I'm watching this guy to see if anything strange happens. But yeah, so I feel like I definitely agree with the comparison. Like, if I was going to try and compare this book to any books, I think those are the two I would have picked myself.
Yeah. That, by the way, was my favorite of the jobs. The first one, the surveillance job. I found it really just interesting. Like, her watching him trying to pick up on his habits, and then she started mirroring him. And
she started trying to figure out, like, which DVDs would be the ones that he wouldn't have, because she starts to know who he is. She starts to, like, understand him as a person. I thought that was fun.
And she started, like, noticing the snacks he was eating and being like, yeah, I'll have that for dinner too.
Yeah. That's true. I really like the first two jobs. I would say those were my favorites out of all of them.
Oh, yeah. I did. Wait, what was this? The second one was the bus one, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I also really liked that one. I think the cracker packet really job, cracker though, too. That was good too, because she was going through a lot of turmoil, and like, I totally related to her being like, I can't write that because a Mrs. Fujiko would never say that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, you get so deep the creative in your head dilemma about a brand. Yeah, that you're like, of course it doesn't make sense, but like, what are we talking about? The postering job, I think, was probably the weakest one, where it was a little bit like, it was still interesting, but at this point we'd done so many things.
That's that what I mean. I was the postering job definitely kind of was the point when I was like, okay, come on, let's bring it back around. Yeah. And then the forest job was pretty cool too, so I enjoyed that.
That's interesting. I agree, especially hearing your points. I think that, just to add on to it a little bit, with convenience store woman, it's also about a woman who it's like trying to figure out what she wants from life. Mm-hmm. And so she knows that she loves working at the convenience store, but everyone around her seems to think that she shouldn't.
Yeah.
And so she's sort of like, okay, maybe I should give up and try something else. In this book, we have this character who clearly like feels like she's supposed to be working.
Yeah. She keeps saying like, maybe I'll take some time off, but then she doesn't.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's sort of like that same kind of feeling of like, work is so central to your life, and so I have to keep working, but I need a break. So I think that has a parallel. And then to My Year of Rest and Relaxation, it's about women, like these two books, I think, are about women who need a break and are doing crazy things because they feel like they can't actually take a break.
Because they feel like they need to keep working, or they need to keep moving life
doing
forward.
Doing something sort of thing. Yeah. Like in My Year of Rest of Relaxation, she could have just been like, I'm going on vacation for 2 months. But instead she was like, I have to do this elaborate thing in order to truly get a big enough break.
Yeah.
And in There's No Such Thing as an Easy Job, she's like, well, I kind of need to rest and recover, but I can't stop working. So I've got it. So there's definitely parallels there. I think actually that
go ahead.
Well, no, I was just gonna say, what's funny is that you always hear this. It's like, this is Harry Potter meets the Hunger Games. And it never is that. But this might be the most accurate one I've ever
heard. No, totally. I was just gonna make one more point of ways that the books are similar too, is that both of the characters could have taken time off, because in My Year in Rest and Relaxation, she's rich. She could easily stop working. And then with this one, she lives with her mom or her parents, and she could easily take a step back. Like, she's not paying rent or anything. So it's like, they could have taken a break, but they just felt like they couldn't because of societal pressure, man.
Okay, well, this next message is from Katia, who says this is her first ever voice call.
Hi, I'm Katia from Mexico. I finished the book a few days ago, and I really liked the first part, but the part when the fourth and fifth jobs are happening, they were really boring to me, and I ended up giving it 3 stars. And my question is, will you choose for the wrapper on the crackers? I think I'll do it about plants, like tips and tricks on how to take care of them. And that's it. I love you guys. Bye. Oh,
so cute. I love you too, Katia. That was such a great message. That was a really cool message. I'm sorry that you didn't end up liking the second half as much. It's a bit of a tragedy, but we understand, right? We both
agree. Like, that's how I felt too. Just luckily I was enjoying the book enough that those bits didn't bring it down for me as much as it did for Katia.
I also think, because for me, that I ended up reading it so fast, like over a weekend, that it it didn't feel like it dragged out. Like, I could have really dragged this out for months, yeah, and then it would have felt too long. But for me, it worked out. Okay, the question, though, is what little segment would we make up for the back of the cracker packet?
Oh, my God.
Such a good question.
I know. I wish I had thought about this in advance, because, like, there are so many different,
I know,
different things it could be. I really like the idea of plants, though, like individual, yes, plants and different ways to take care of them, because I, as a plant killer, would really be able to use those tips.
That's a really lovely idea. I think that's a really good one. The idea that instantly came to mind when she asked was, like, book reviews. So, like, recommending books on the back of the packet, yeah, and just, like, doing a 200-word or not even. It's, like, a 50-word. I think it wasn't a 45 to 50-word,
yeah, it's quite
limit,
short.
But, like, doing, like, a little blurb for different books. I think that's fun, like, recommending
that's
books
funny,
to people.
That's funny that that was the first thing that came to your head, because the first thing that came to my head was movie reviews, and I was like, no, I can do better than that. They'd be so disappointed in that idea. Everyone would vote against it.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so much pressure that people have to vote on it.
Right?
I do think, like, if you had time to think about some segments, there could be some really cool things. I think I would do maybe something about trains. Really into trains, mm-hmm, right now. So, like, I don't know, talking about different train routes or, like, fun facts about trains. Like,
yeah,
did you know, here's a fun fact, Raylene. Did you know that more than 50% of the London Underground is overground?
Oh! That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Oh, man. I guess then going on things that we're really passionate about, I would, like, have the history of gymnastics or something. And each cracker, yes, could have a different person that it's focusing on and kind of tells their story, yeah, in a very short way.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, man.
Yeah,
it could be. You're right. A history segment could be fun. Like, the different, I don't know what, this is a terrible idea. I wouldn't even pitch this one to the board, but like different cell phones before the smartphone, like the kind of history of cell phones and the different technology, and like, oh, one of them was a flip phone. Which was the first one to have a selfie camera?
Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
That's fun. Oh, man, that's a great question, Katia. And we're sort of like, sorry, we didn't listen to that one earlier because we could have maybe had time to think of something better.
Yeah.
All right. This next message is from Joe.
Hey, Ariel and Raylene. I'd say overall, I enjoyed the book. I didn't love it. I thought that after 300 pages, I got pretty tired of the pedanticness of the plot and just the repetition. I also thought the last couple of pages were too fluffy and too perfect, I suppose. Overall, though, I'd say it was okay. It was not bad. But thanks for another book club.
Well, thank you for your message, Joe. Clearly, everyone feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's a little interesting because I sort of think it's a bit like form meets function. In, yeah, that, like, the way we were getting bored of the jobs is the way the main character was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we were supposed to feel a little trapped in this cycle with her.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that might be why it was the length it was. But I do agree, much like the Batman, it would have been better, like, half an hour shorter.
Yeah, like, it just, like, needed to be cut down a tiny bit.
Soldier.
Because, yeah, I feel like five jobs was a good amount. I just feel like some of them went on a little too long, I think, is possibly the downside. Like, I don't know how long each section was, but the postering job really brought me down, man.
Yeah. Okay, so Joe mentioned the last few pages.
Oh, yeah.
Joe was unsatisfied by the last few pages. And so before I actually highlighted the last little segment, before I read this off, Raylene, one question that I always ask myself, especially for our book club, mm-hmm, books, is what was the thesis? Like, what was the exact point,
yeah,
of this story? Why did the author kind of want to share this? What is one of the main points? When you were reading it, did you have a feeling of what that was? Like, what's the point of this? What's it telling us? What's the moral of the story? Did you have a feeling throughout it?
Not really, but let me just try and noodle something off the top of my head. because obviously throughout the book, she keeps trying to do jobs that are very mundane and don't require any of her brain power, but she ends up being good at them. At the end, like, every single time she gets really involved somehow and, like, she, like, you know, is, like, solving a mystery or, like, whatever. So she goes from being trying to just do nothing, basically, and ends up, like, being really helpful. And so I think in reality, and once we find out that she was a social worker, it makes you yeah. realize, like, I think she really wants to be doing something meaningful in the end. Like, she thinks she wants to do something easy because being a social worker is hard and, like, involves lots of emotional turmoil. But I think that that's what she was meant to do, I guess, is kind of the way that the story goes. That's kind of what it feels like. So I don't know. I guess it is to try and find meaning in your life and to not be afraid of it when you find it, I guess. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think the title for me really was the thesis. There's no such thing as an easy job. Like, she's looking for an easy job, but if it's going to be something that you show up to every day and you're pouring work into, it's going to, like you're saying, it's going to accrue meaning.
Yeah.
The literal last 3-4 sentences of the book are, "What I discovered by doing 5 jobs in such a short span of time was this. The same was true of everything. You never knew what was going to happen, whatever you did. You just had to give it your all and hope for the best. Hope, like anything, it would turn out all right." So it's sort of what we're saying. Like, it's just like, no matter what you do, it's going to be tough and it's going to have its ups and downs.
Yeah.
I do kind of agree with Joe, though, that the ending maybe could have been a little more climactic. Like, maybe she did finally find a really good job or...
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. This next message is from Anch.
Hi, Ariel and Raylene. So I haven't finished the book yet. I've just read the first section about the surveillance job, and I found it really, really fascinating, the way that she starts doing what he's doing, just mimicking his habits and eating what he's eating because it's easier, and the way that she wants to reach out to him and tell him to do something a different way, but she knows that she can't. So my question to you is, which was your favorite job out of all of them and why?
I'm obsessed with Anche's accent. That was so pretty. I did mention my favorite story was the first one, or not story. It kind of felt that way.
It felt like short stories,
a short story collection of it. My favorite one was the first one. I was really into. I didn't know, and maybe I'm dumb. I should have just looked at the table of contents. I didn't know that she was gonna do 5 different jobs.
No, neither did I.
So I thought it was like this was the job she was gonna do for the whole book.
Right.
And then you messaged me and you said, "Are you on the second job yet?"
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh, she's going to leave this job, I
oh,
guess.
Oh, no.
But, like, I really enjoyed it because I really liked the store downstairs. That one had a little bit of magical realism vibes.
That's
where it was
true.
Like, what is going on in this weird little shop? And, like, different things show up and different items. And, like, how do you order stuff to the shop? Like,
yeah, that was kind of mysterious and would have been interesting to see more of that convenience store person.
So that one was my favorite. And then I did also really like the bus advertising one because I liked, it felt like shocking. I was like, what's going on? What's happening?
No, exactly. Because I actually read, I think, the entirety of the first 2 jobs in one sitting. Like when I first started this book,
okay, yeah.
I just blasted through them. And then I think once I got onto the third one, I was like, okay, it's time for bed. Like it was a work night. But I really loved them. And I think that maybe, like you said earlier, reading them really fast could also be part of why you enjoyed it so much, because I blasted through the first 2 jobs and I thought it was so great. But yeah, no, I would definitely say that the bus job was my favorite. I just like that it showed that she was having to be creative for this job. Like, it wasn't the most mundane job of all time, because she actually had to, like, do research and, like, talk to people and, like, do the recordings and do the editing and stuff. So it actually seemed like kind of a bit of a dynamic job that I would have maybe even enjoyed, because it wasn't that boring.
No.
And plus there was all the weirdness that we were talking about. There was the mystery of, like, what the hell is actually going on here? That made it really, really fascinating to me. And so I could have easily read an entire book just about that one job.
One of the things I really liked about the book was the reasons that she left. They never really made sense. And I thought that that was really an interesting part of, like, where she was mental health wise. Because for her, she was like, I need to leave this job because it's too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this isn't that pressureful of a job. Like, you're writing the cracker packets, but it just showed that she wasn't ready for that responsibility.
That's true. There was, like, every job had just one little thing that was, like, too much.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, this next message is interesting. This comes from Maya, and in the message, in the email, it says that she read it in the original Japanese.
Ooh,
and
that's
so
cool.
Let's see what she has to say about that.
If you read the book in Japanese, you would probably assume that the target in the first chapter called Yamamoto Yamae or Yamae Yamamoto, either way, is a woman. Because Yamae sounds like a woman's name, and it's always Yamamoto Yamae in full name, not the guy or he, it's never mentioned. So it's a surprise for us Japanese readers. I noticed the pattern of her writing and how she made it funny in the Japanese version. For example, like she describes the situation indirectly, like how boring the job is in a very long sentence first, and then she confirms it in a short sentence directly, like saying, "Yes, indeed, this job is boring," or something like that. So I was curious if it's the same in the translated version as well.
This is really interesting. So saying that like one of the genders comes off really differently, and in the email it says, "I just checked the sample of English version on the Kindle and I was shocked that Yamamoto was a man," and like pointing out why we wouldn't expect that. And it just, this message really goes to show how much the translator has to do with how we read the book,
because totally. we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like almost edited in a different way, like,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah, it's, exactly. We're getting different information than if you're reading it in Japanese, I guess, especially because people who are not from Japan will like not have all the cultural you know, like, knowledge that might be necessary. So that I feel like a lot of the times the translators probably either over explain things maybe so that we can understand more, or, you know, things like that. So that is kind of interesting to think about. I would love to like hear a translator talk about how to translate a book. I think that's so fascinating.
And Maya mentions like the humor. Humor is insanely difficult to translate. Like whenever in my house, it's a bilingual house, so I speak Spanish with my mom and English with my dad and my brother, and, you know, we'll tell a joke in English and then we'll try and translate it to Spanish. It's not funny because it's like so different when you try and translate, all of the words don't slightly hit the right way, and it's just not funny anymore. So I think translating humor would be really difficult, actually. That's true. I was also like, in the bus company, it's called Albatross, and somebody jokes that it's Albadross, and I'm like, that makes me think that this, like, you had to be really creative to try and get the pun to work in English. Yeah, it's totally interesting. Okay, this is from Kira.
Started this book about 3 weeks ago. I'm on page 274 now in the postering job, and if I'm being honest, it's a little bit difficult to get through. I'm not really looking forward to picking it up. I was enjoying it at the beginning, but at this point, it just feels like a lot more of the same. And I feel like these sort of magical elements aren't going to have a payoff, which is frustrating to me. So I'm really struggling getting to the end of this one.
So Kira said more of the same, and I just want to take this opportunity to recommend the song More of the Same by Carolyn Rose. Great song. I was introduced to that artist because of CJ, who added to the pod. Great musician, great song. Go listen to that. More of the same thing. Very, very good. Kira mentions like the magical realism doesn't really pay off. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of true.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't really lead to anything necessarily.
No, exactly. Gotta wonder why it was in there.
The last one is from Jessica.
Hi, Books Unbound. My name is Jess and I'm from Maine. This book is divided according to job. Did you pick up on common themes across stories or see any character growth? Or would you consider each job a mostly independent short story? I think I lean towards the latter. This book was unexpectedly strange and spooky, and I'm still thinking about it after finishing. I rated 4.5 out of 5. Thanks for the recommendation.
We got a high rating. Mm-hmm. Love that. I love when we recommend books people like. Okay, did you sense character growth? That's a great question. Or did they feel like she kind of stayed the same within each story?
I feel like I kind of lean towards the second on that one as well. I feel like each time she starts out being like, okay, let me see how I can do as little work as possible and just get through this. And then by the end, when she kind of, like I was saying before, like gets good at the job, and then she just like quits and then she kind of starts over again. Or she's like, okay, that was too much for me. Let me try again. And then it doesn't work out. And I mean, maybe by the very end, she grows a little bit because she's kind of like, okay, kind of considering maybe going back to her original job.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she does grow by the end, but within each story, it did feel kind of like it's just kind of the same, and she didn't seem to change that much. That's at least what I remember from reading it.
I agree with that. I think a little bit that it was like every single time it was proof that what she needed was a genuine break, like mm-hmm. just not work for a while. But like, obviously that's also not possible. There are some points where she does talk about like, ugh, the pay is not good enough. Like yeah. this actually is a bit of a problem. So obviously she does need money to live. And so, and that's very realistic, right? You, mm-hmm. some people, a lot of people I'm sure need a break, but can't take a break.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a little bit of a comment on that, but yeah, seriously. But on the end of like, at the end of each job, you're sort of like, God, what she really needs is just to not work, mm-hmm. but she has to keep working. So that is stressful, but you're right, like it didn't feel necessary, like felt like she was stuck in a cycle.
Yeah, it didn't feel like she was really trying to escape the cycle, I guess is the other thing.
That's true.
It did kind of feel like she was like, all right, time to go find another meaningless job instead of looking yeah. for something that maybe pays better and maybe is a bit more work. Like if that was really her concern, you'd think she might consider that, but she just really wanted to do the easiest, like the bare minimum
job.
Yeah,
yeah. That's really interesting. Well, I'm really glad that people seem to at least mainly enjoy the mm-hmm. book, right? It was more like 3 stars to 5 as opposed to 1 star to 3 or something. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I'm really glad that we read it. And I'm also glad because it was a book I was really excited about. And now it's not become a mashed potato book.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we did that.
That's awesome. Well, I guess you started this episode off, but now I feel like I'm ending it. Thank you so much to everyone who participated in our book club and everyone who sent in voice clips. This time, everyone really had them under like 30, 32 seconds, yeah, that which was is awesome. Perfect.
Thanks,
you guys did great.
You came through.
Nailed it. Thank you to all of our patrons who support the podcast and to everyone who checks out our merch or follows us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye.